السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاث أقسم عليهن وأحدثكم حديثا فاحفظوا. We are discussing one hadith of رسول پاک صلى الله عليه وسلم. وعن أبي كبشة الأنماري رضي الله تعالى عن أنه سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. حضرت أبو Kawasha Anmari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that he heard Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Salasun uqsimu alayhinna. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said that there are three things on which I take qasam. Those young people who don't have any backache problem, come away and join the congregation here. Sitting far away, you deprive yourself of the noor and rahmat of the majlis and of those hadiths which are discussed. So he said, three things are those on which I take qasam. Now we have been discussing this hadith over three or four majlises and programs. So he says, three things I take qasam on. And then, وَأُحَدِّثُكُمْ حَدِيثًا فَحْفَزُ. And then I relate to you a hadith. Remember it. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says the three things on which he takes qasam. I discussed this in some detail earlier on, that the first one was فَأَمَّا الَّذِي أُقْسِمُ عَلَيْهِنَّ فَإِنَّهُ مَا نَقَسَ مَالُ عَبْدٍ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ. The first thing on which he takes qasam is that the person's wealth does not decrease by his sadaqat. His sadaqat will not decrease his wealth. But I explained this at length, that the niyat has to be correct. Unfortunately, most of the sadaqat that we give, our niyat is not correct. It is not for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is for those worldly gains that we give those sadaqat. Now those sadaqat, they will bring those gains. But our niyat must be that we are taking out sadaqat solely for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. Then he says the wealth will not reduce. Again, we have to understand that the reduction of the wealth does not mean that when you give away 20 from 100, then it will still remain 100 or it will become 120. What it means that Allah Ta'ala will now give barakat in the remainder of that. Whatever remains, Allah Ta'ala will give great barakat. That the person will now be able to use that wealth for his needs, for his family's needs, and for other purposes. His money will not go in such kind of expenditure which will not benefit him. There are many expenditures which does not really benefit the person. In fact, causes a lot of harm. But the money just goes. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will protect the person from such kind of expenditure. There are some lawyers who are charging 2,000 rands an hour. 2,500 rands an hour. Advocates are charging senior counsels even more than that. One appearance at the court, 25,000 rand for the first day. I was surprised when that person told me that there is a court case that's going to take place and the counsel wants 25,000 rand for appearance on one day, the first day. After that there will be some reduction. Now imagine that kind of money or such kinds of wealth going in such kind of expenditure. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will protect the person. And if for some reason it has to go also, then Allah Ta'ala will still give barakat in the remainder. Sometimes it is a test from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The person cannot avoid it. Like there have been so many ulama who have been arrested, and so many mujahideen who have been arrested, and they are imprisoned, in humiliating conditions. Now, there's no doubt that they were arrested for the sake of deen. Now, if an effort is made, they have to pay lawyers' costs, they have to engage attorneys, they have to engage senior counsel, they have to engage parliament members, cabinet minister. There are so many things they have to do, and there will be expenditure. Now, we won't say that that money is now going down the drain. They will be rewarded for that, although it is still being spent in the same kind of things. But I am talking about those cases that come up in a person's life which drains the person's wealth and gains him no real benefit or sawab. There's so much of such kind of expenditure. So either that, or Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give a literal increase, that Allah Ta'ala will increase that wealth. The person, his wealth will be multiplied, minimum 10 times reward you will get, and much, much more than that, depending on Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's will and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's hikmah. So we should not think that the person, by giving that sadaqat, now he is suffering some kind of a loss. There is no loss. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will definitely, according to this hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, give that person protection, barakat, and many other things. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, ma naqasa malu abdim min sadaqatin. The person's wealth will not reduce by giving sadaqah. And I've given many, many examples in the lives of the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the lives of awliya-i kiram, that how their yaqeen, that when they gave sadaqah, they believed that definitely it will be multiplied minimum 10 times. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala definitely did multiply it. You can pick up the tapes of the earlier majlises. Inshallah, you will find details on those tapes. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَلَا ظُلِمَ عَبْدٌ مَظْلَمَةً صَبَرَ عَلَيْهَا إِلَّا زَادَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا عِزَّةً. I'm just recapping because we tend to forget very easily what was discussed earlier. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person who forgives, now again by way of explanation, not sticking to the literal translation, that the person whom, upon whom some injustice has been done, and this person makes sabr over that injustice, he turns his attention towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who is the Rabb of Arshi Azim. He says, Alayhi tawakkaltu, wa huwa Rabbul Arshi Azim. So now he doesn't go for intiqam, he doesn't go for revenge, he doesn't go to avenge, he doesn't want retribution. This person says, well, this person did injustice, I forgive him. And I will turn my attention towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and ask him for assistance and help. So if injustice has been done to some person and he makes sabr over it. In fact, in this hadith sharif, if you have to look at the words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَصَبَرَ عَلَيْهَا. He's not even talking about forgiving that person. Forgiving is a higher stage, that the person forgives. But we are talking about this word, sabara alaiha, that the person makes sabr over it. That means he has the capacity to take revenge. If he wants to take revenge, he can. But he does not do that. He makes sabr over it. So even if he doesn't forgive, but he is making sabr, and he's turning his heart and attention towards Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala will take intiqam on his behalf. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will then punish that person on behalf of this person who has made sabr over that injustice and zulm which has been done to him. And I explained this also, I think, in the previous majlis, that zulm is one thing that Allah Ta'ala does not tolerate. And whenever when it comes to zulm and injustice, then always our attention and mind goes on the government. That's about the only thing we think of when it comes to injustice. That the government level injustice we think of. But we don't look at the injustices that we do in our own homes, upon our wives, upon our children, or family members, or in our businesses, when we are dealing with our clients or with our employees, or in whichever department of life we are. All the injustices that we do, we don't look at those injustices. Whereas that is also injustice. If a wife, injustice is done to her, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will still punish. If a husband, injustice has been done to him, it will be the same thing. Children, injustice has been done to them, it will be the same thing. So we will have to ask for forgiveness even from those people with whom we deal every day, and we take it for granted that no matter how much of injustice we do upon these people, there will be no questioning. It's not a case of no questioning. In fact, that is even more important, because certain people will deal with them once in a lifetime. But here every day we are dealing with them, and the injustice piles on. Daily the person sometimes is doing injustice. He is abusive, he is using vulgar language, he is intolerant, he is rebellious. The person is saying things which are hurting the hearts of people within their own home and their own family, amongst friends. So injustice is being done, and it is multiplied. All the time it is being multiplied. And the person thinks that no, this is not injustice because it is in their own home. So we have to understand that this is also injustice. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, between him and injustice, between him and any injustice that has been done, or between the mazloom, the person who has been harmed, injustice has been done to him, between him and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, there's no barrier. When he makes a dua, which we may term as baddua, then it is accepted. Allah ta'ala will definitely come to the help of that person to whom injustice has been done sooner or later. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will definitely help that unjust person, or that person to whom injustice has been done. Allah ta'ala will definitely help him. Allah ta'ala will help the just, and to those whom injustice has been done, he will definitely take intiqam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if this person makes sabr upon that injustice which has been done to him, he doesn't go for revenge, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will increase his respect and honor. For this person upon whom injustice has been done, his respect will increase. And we notice this, that a person who is got a balanced mind, he is a sensible person, he is not affected by the great amount of injustice which is prevalent in the world, and he also becomes one of them. He is a balanced person. Then if injustice is done upon any person, it hurts. The moment he sees it, he says, look at this person who is committing the injustice. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give respect to the one who makes sabr over that zulm that has been done. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person who opens the door of begging, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens the door of poverty for him. No person has opened the door of begging, but that Allah ta'ala has opened the door of poverty for him. That we can see throughout the world. Again, these three things I explained at length in the earlier majlises. Now we proceed. وَأَمَّا الَّذِي أُحَدِّثُكُمْ فَاحْفَظُوا فَقَالَ إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا لِأَرْبَعَةِ نَفَرٍ. That this world, whatever we call dunya, it is for four kinds of people. Four kinds of people, for them is this dunya. And again, we must remember that dunya is not the name of clothing, food, shelter. Dunya is not the name of gold, silver. Dunya is not the name of any kind of luxury or comfort. That is not dunya. It is dunya when it diverts the attention of the person from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. When it takes him towards wrong, when it takes him towards haram, when it takes him towards negligence and ghaflat, then that now becomes dunya. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this dunya is for four categories of people. Now again, we discussed that to some extent in the earlier majlis, that the first category I think we discussed, that عَبْدٍ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَقِلْمًا فَهُوَ يَتَّقِي فِيهِ رَبَّهُ وَيَصِلُ رَحِمَهُ وَيَعْمَلُ لِلَّهِ فِيهِ بِحَقِّهِ فَهَذَا بِأَفْزَلِ الْمَنَازِلِ. So the person on the highest level, the person enjoying, or he from the best, from amongst the best, is that person whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given both wealth and knowledge. That means he gives him the dunya, but with the dunya Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives him also ilm. With the maal he has also got ilm. He hasn't only got wealth and no ilm. Now because of that ilm that he has, because of that knowledge which he has, because of that knowledge of deen which this person has, So he fears Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he fears his Rabb. Now what he has got is wealth, but because of this knowledge of deen, now he has got the khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala with regards to the spending of that wealth. First of all, with regards to the earning of that wealth, now because of this khawf, so he only earns that which is halal. He does not go towards anything that is haram. He does not touch anything that is haram. No matter what kind of profit it will bring him, no matter what kind of gain he may see with his eyes in that haram, whether it runs into millions or billions, but this ilm that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given him, it makes him fear his Rabb. And if you look at the word Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam uses, that yattaqi fihi rabbahu. He could have brought any other sifat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but he brings the sifat of Rabb. That means it is that same Rabb who is nourishing you. He is that same Rabb who is nurturing you. He is that same Rabb who provided for you in the mother's stomach. He is that same Rabb who converted the milk, who converted the blood to milk when you were born. He is that same Rabb who provided you with so many different ni'mats and bounties. So now why should you lose trust in that Rabb? Or why should you now not have khawf of displeasing that Rabb? And why should you go towards haram when it is that same Rabb who is still providing and will continue providing? And he has got so much of means that he has created of earning halal, then why must you go towards haram? So this person has got taqwa now, that is what it means. That is, because of this ilm, he has got taqwa. Because of this ilm, he has got khashiyat. Innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. This is what it means. In that ayat of the Quran Sharif, of course there's much explanation. But one of the meaning is this. It doesn't mean that the person has to be an alim with a certificate and with qualification, then he fears Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi. Those are the only ones from amongst the servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who fear Allah tabaraka. They are the only ones who are the ulama, the learned, who fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. From amongst the servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it's only the ulama who fear him. Now this ulama, one is that category that we know, who go through all the courses and they qualify as alims. But if a person has, through other means also, acquired the knowledge of deen, through reliable and authentic sources, then he too will get this khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the khashiyat of Allah ta'ala. If he has the khashiyat, then he will be an alim. Otherwise, he can have qualification, he can have degrees, he can have sanad, he can have everything. But if he hasn't got the khawf and khashiyat, then he is not considered to be an alim in the light of that Quranic verse. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this person, Allah ta'ala has given him both wealth and he has given him knowledge. Now because of this knowledge, he's got this taqwa. Because of this knowledge, he's got this khawf in his heart. So he does not acquire that wealth in a haram way, and he does not use it in haram places. Now this wealth will not go in haram places and haram causes. The person will not make israf also in that wealth. The person will not use it in the casinos, in the discos, in cinemas and theatres. The person will not go and purchase movies and films with it. And the person will not buy other things which are haram to purchase or to use. The person will not use it in those, in such kind of weddings and celebrations and parties which are against the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah. In the nikahs, in the walimas, everywhere. Now the person will first see that this expenditure is justified or not. Is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala pleased with that kind of expenditure or not? When we have halls where just the decoration of those halls cost 60,000, 80,000 and 100,000. Now can that person be falling in this category that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given him both wealth and knowledge? And because of that knowledge, now he fears Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the usage of that wealth, when he is using it in such kind of expenditure. So this person who has got no khawf and khashiyat, he is not going to be concerned. He'll think the wealth belongs to me and I can use it as I wish. But that is not the case of a Muslim. A Muslim does not say it belongs to me, it belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yes, he has given it to us as an amanat, as a trust. And now he is watching over that amanat and trust, that how we use it. He has given us the opportunity to use it, he has given us the permissibility. But now he is watching that how you use that wealth. So if he has got both wealth and knowledge, then he will use it correctly. So he said, for that person, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that wealth is permissible. He can make use of the dunya. And also from there he considers his family members, his kith and kin, his relatives, those who are close to him. He spends on them. And also he fulfills the other rights of that wealth. Now all these rights he fulfills, then he is from the highest category and from the best, that he has got wealth, he's got knowledge, and he's using it correctly. We discussed this, and we go a little further. وَعَبْدٍ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ عِلْمًا وَلَمْ يَرْزُقْهُ مَالًا وَهُوَ صَادِقُ النِّيَّةِ يَقُولُ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي مَالًا لَعَمِلْتُ فِيهِ بِعَمَلِ فُلَانٍ فَأَجْرُهُمَا سَوَاءٌ. Now there's another person, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given him ilm, but he hasn't given him wealth. Allah ta'ala gave him plenty of ilm. He became alim, became mufti, became qari, became everything. Oh, he's got knowledge of deen, but he doesn't have wealth in his hands. So this person says, it's not necessary again he must be an alim or a mufti. Any person whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given the knowledge of deen, knowledge of essentials of deen also if he has got, but he hasn't got wealth. So now this person makes the niyat, he is sadiq in his niyat, he is truthful in his niyat, that if Allah ta'ala had given me wealth, then I too would have been using it for madrasas, masjids, widows, orphans, the poor, for my family. I would be spending on my family, on the needs of the neighbors, and spending in good causes. I would be spending in those places where it is halal and permissible for me to spend. Now the person has got a good niyat. Together with that ilm, now he's got good niyat, but he hasn't got the wealth. He says, but if I had the wealth, I would have been using in all these good causes. So if he is sadiq in his niyah, truthful in his niyah, and niyah and intention is something that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala only knows. He is the only one that knows what the niyah is, whether it's sadiq or it's just one of those things that lots of people say a lot of things. If I had the money, I would have done this and done that. But when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives it to them, then they do not do what they were saying they were going to do if they had the money. There are so many people, they are poor, and they say that if we had the money, I would have done this. If I had the money, I would have done that. But when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives it to them, then at that time, they do not prove themselves truthful. They are not sadiq in their niyah. Now that niyah is something that is in the heart. Now only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows whether that person is sadiq or not. Like many people, as I explained in one of the majlises, they say, why are they not coming for Fajr Namaz now? Because there's a lot of hold-ups and a lot of hijackings. So that's why they're not coming now. Now if they were sadiq in their niyah, or they're sadiq in their words, then we will have to look back that when there was not much hijacking, how much did they come to the masjid? When there was not much hijacking, at that time, did they come to the masjid? If they didn't come to the masjid those days, so now we will say that this is a lame excuse. Because if they were truthful, then they would have been coming when there was not much hijackings. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows what is the truth. We can say what we like with our tongues. That is why Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, as you heard in the Surah Yasin Sharif, which was recited earlier on, الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ, his lips will be sealed, finished. وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ, the hands will speak. Allah Ta'ala says the hands will speak to us. And the feet will bear testimony to what they did, where they walked. So we can say a lot of things with our tongues, But it's not necessary that that is what is in the heart. So here, if the person was sadiq in his niyyah, then he will get the same rewards as that person whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave that wealth, and he gave him knowledge, and because of the knowledge, now he was using that wealth correctly. So both those people will be in the same category. Now we go to the third category. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَعَبْدٍ رَزَقَهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَلَمْ يَرْزُقْهُ عِلْمًا فَهُوَ يَتَخَبَّتُ فِي مَالِهِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ لَا يَتَّقِي فِيهِ رَبَّهُ وَلَا يَصِلُ رَحِمَهُ وَلَا يَعْمَلُ فِيهِ بِحَقٍّ فَهَذَا بِأَخْبَثِ الْمَنَازِلِ. Now the third category is completely opposite of the first one. That the person, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, that Allah ta'ala gave him maal, but he did not give him knowledge. Not that Allah ta'ala did not give him knowledge. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not deprive a person of knowledge. It is the person, he deprives himself of knowledge. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, we must not blame him and say that he didn't give that knowledge, so what must he do? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got various avenues. How the person is making his way to the schools and colleges and universities, somehow he makes his way, because he believes that if I don't have secular education, then I will lose out on the benefits of this world. I will lose out on job opportunities. I will lose out on employment. And I will not be able to make money. So the person works hard, somehow he looks. So many people struggled, but they went to the schools and made it to the universities. People sold bottles on the streets. They sold newspapers. They sold cardboard boxes. They sold many things. They struggled, but they made sure that they made it to the schools and they made it to the colleges. The parents worked hard. Somehow they sold all these type of things and sent their children. Why? Because they believe that if my child does not have this education, then this is what is going to happen. So just as we are concerned that there must be secular education, so here also we must not blame Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala wants us to seek knowledge, and the person, if he makes a little effort, he will get it. And especially in our times, there is a flood of literature, there's a flood of information and knowledge. There's an explosion now. But the person must be keen on acquiring it. He has to make a little bit of sacrifice to get it. But this person, in spite of there being madrasas and darul ulooms, and there being so much of Islamic literature, so much of things available now even on the internet and in magazines and in all kinds of publications, but the person was not interested, because he felt that what will I get if I have to get this knowledge of deen? It's not going to help me very much in this world. In this world you need that knowledge which will make you, bring plenty of money in for you. So he deprived himself of that knowledge. So he got plenty of wealth, but he didn't get the knowledge. He didn't get the deeni education. So what he did, because of that, now he's got no fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Because he has got no knowledge, so he's got no fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He's got no khawf of Allah ta'ala, because he hasn't recognized his creator. The purpose of that knowledge, if he had the knowledge of deen, he would have recognized his Allah. He would have recognized his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would have believed in the Quran. He would have believed in the day of judgment, in the life after death. Now this person didn't have the knowledge, so he's got plenty of wealth. Now when a person has got plenty of wealth but no knowledge, so he hasn't got the khawf, and because of that now he's got no khawf of Allah Ta'ala. So what will be the end result now? That wealth will take him to all the haram places. That wealth will now become the means of him going to the casinos, discos. Because can a person go to these places without money? If he wants to go into the disco, he needs money. If he wants to go into the cinema, he needs money. If he wants to go and purchase those video films, he needs money. If he wants to go and indulge in any kind of haram, now he needs the money. So that same money is now taking him to all the haram places, because he's got no khawf of Allah. And then again, when a person now has got a right over him, so he's not going to use of that wealth and fulfill that right of that person, whether it's his parents or whether it's family members or whether anyone else who has got a right in his wealth. Allah Ta'ala has got the rights of others also in our wealth. But now this person is not going to fulfill that, because he's got only wealth and no taqwa. So now if a person has to ask him for some kind of assistance, then he will say that this wealth is mine. Why should I use out of my wealth for you? The old parents will say, why must I care for them? Why must I care for them? There are other brothers who can take care of him. There are ND693 Corolla. Don't remove your car. 693. He will say the other brothers can take care of him. There are other people who can assist him and help him. Why should I take care of him? The same with other family members, relatives and other people. Another person will not like to spend because he hasn't got the khawf of Allah Ta'ala. So this is the thing, that when he doesn't have the khawf and khashiyat of Allah Ta'ala, then he is not going to have, he is not going to spend the wealth in the places that it should be spent. وَلَا يَعْمَلُ فِيهِ بِحَقٍّ فَهَذَا بِأَخْبَسِ الْمَنَازِلِ. So just as we had that person in the highest category and the best, for whom Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that dunya he can, for him it is permissible, he can use it. In the same way now this person, he is in the lowest of all categories. Lowest position. That he has got wealth but he hasn't got knowledge, and because of that he is using all that wealth in the wrong places. Or is not fulfilling the rights of that wealth. And now we come to the last category, again now without going into detailed explanation now to complete this Hadith Sharif today inshallah. وَعَبْدٍ لَمْ يَرْزُقْهُ اللَّهُ مَالًا وَلَا عِلْمًا فَهُوَ يَقُولُ لَوْ أَنَّ لِي مَالًا لَعَمِلْتُ فِيهِ بِعَمَلِ فُلَانٍ فَهُوَ نِيَّتُهُ وَوِزْرُهُمَا سَوَاءٌ رَوَاهُ الترمذي. The last category again by way of explanation is this, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala hasn't given him wealth and he doesn't even have the knowledge. He doesn't have wealth too and he doesn't have knowledge too. But what he says, or what he intends, or that is his niyat, just as we had the other one who, that he was sadiqun niyat, that if Allah Ta'ala gave me wealth, I would have spent like this person with wealth in all good causes. Now this person says, if only I had wealth. If only I had wealth. Because he doesn't have wealth too and he doesn't have knowledge too. So if I had wealth, then I too would have been doing those same things, and like that person who has the wealth, but he is using it in the wrong places. I'll give you an explanation of that. That the person had wealth, now because of his wealth he went to the casino, he went to the discos, cinemas, theaters, prostitute quarters and all kinds of haram actions because he had wealth. Now this person doesn't have the wealth and he doesn't have the ilm also. But he says, if only I too had the wealth, I too could have gone for that show where the tickets were selling for 300, 500 and 1000 rand. If I had the money, I too would have gone for that show. I too would have gone to those cinemas. I too would have gone and gambled here and there. I too would have been visiting those haram places. But what a pity I don't have the wealth. Now that is what he is thinking inside. So his sin will be same as that person who's got the wealth and is going to those haram places. Now here one thing worries a lot of people, that sometimes the thought comes, the passing thought, that if I had wealth, I too should have gone. Just a thought. So if it is just a thought, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not punish on that. As we discussed many times with regards to waswasa. How many times you have heard that explanation? That our heart and mind is a national highway. All kinds of thoughts will come. But don't entertain those thoughts. As I always explain, that when you're traveling on the highway also, sometimes you're going to Johannesburg and you'll see a truck in front of you heading for some abattoir, and the truck has got pigs in there. So no person likes to stop. If he's a Muslim, he doesn't want to stop. Yes, those people who enjoy bacon and eggs for breakfast, so for them they will say that, at least if we can't get it for breakfast, at least we can watch it here. But for the Muslim, he will make tawbah, tawbah, astaghfirullah. And if somebody else is driving, especially our wives are with, they'll say, drive fast, take over, overtake the truck quickly. And they'll close their eyes. It's a pity they can't tell the driver, you close your eyes too. Otherwise it'll be accident. So they want to overtake the truck. Why? Because it's filth. But nobody has got the right to stop that truck driver and say, that this is a national highway, what right you got to drive on this road? He will say, I paid my license, I will drive. So in the same way, Shaitan says he paid his license to put waswasa. Allah Ta'ala rejected him. So that's a license he got now. Allah Ta'ala gave him permission that till the day of Qiyamah, I give you life. But Allah Ta'ala says, my servants you won't be able to mislead. But in any case, he will whisper. So if just the thought comes, then don't entertain it. Evil thoughts will come, but don't entertain them. Like if the person has just come out from raves, he has come out from cinemas, he has come out from zina, he has given up all these bad and evil habits of his life. So overnight those thoughts won't go away. It takes sometimes a long, long period of time before that heart becomes clear. So the thoughts will come. The moment he sees again some friends heading for the cinemas and rave clubs, so again the thought comes. Sometimes that I wish I too had been amongst them. All that enjoyment and pleasure that he had in the past, that it flashes again on his mind. So he must just ignore that. He must not entertain it. Occupy his mind in something else. Occupy the hands in something else. Occupy the eyes in something else. If you occupy your eyes, your hands, your ears in something else, then the thought will go away. If anything that's permissible, the person just changes the direction of those thoughts. He doesn't start fighting those thoughts. Then they will go away. So here if it is just that passing thought, then there's no punishment on that. That is the hajis as is mentioned. There's just a passing thought and Allah Ta'ala does not punish on that. The second thing is where some niyat came in the heart of doing something that is good. The niyat came in the heart of doing something good. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala rewards that person even though he does not do that good. One neki is written straight away. Even though he does not do that good, but something is written for him as sawab and blessing. And if just that niyat came of committing them sin, but he was no proper intention and determination, there was no azm, the word is azm, then too he is not punished. But now we are talking about the third stage where there's azm, that if there was no barrier between him and sin, then he would have definitely committed it. It's just that some barrier came in between, some obstacle came in between, or some, in fact, I will say that even if that person's outward dressing and clothing, and that became the means of preventing him from going there. If it had not been that now he is known to be wearing kurta and topi and he's got a beard and he's seen in the masjid and he's seen in good circle. So now he says, how can I go now that I'm in this condition? Now imagine a person who is a five-time namazi and is considered to be a righteous, pious person, and he, in the same dressing and same libas, now he goes and queues up in some cinema ticketing place. So he'll feel very awkward and odd, or think that people will now look at him and say, what this person is doing here. So something came in between, or there was no money he had, or there was some other thing that restrained him. But he had every intention that if there was nobody watching, then he would have definitely committed the sin. He was in seclusion somehow, in a lift or in an office or somewhere, and the person now, if there was nobody else, no other barrier, then he would have definitely committed the sin. So then we will say, now there's azm, that's a stage of azm. So then this person will get the same sin as that person who committed all those sins. The person who had the money and he was going to all the haram places, this person will get same kind of sin. Although he didn't even go there, he didn't even enjoy himself in the haram. But because of the determination of his, because of that firm intention of his, that I too would have been there. And I would have very much liked to be there. And if it had not been for this or for that, I would have been there. So if he has firmed niyat, then because of that niyat of his now, which has reached the stage of azm, so he also will get the same sin and the same azab, like that person who committed those sins because of the will that Allah Ta'ala had given him. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion is this, that if a person has got wealth, it is not haram. It is not forbidden, it is not dunya. What is essential, what is necessary, is that the person must have the ilm of deen together with that wealth. So that how much of zakat he has to pay, he pays from that wealth. He has to make qurbani, he makes qurbani. If he has to make hajj, he goes for hajj. If it's farz hajj, so now that wealth and his business and his property and all don't keep him back, he makes it for hajj. Whatever he, or whichever places he has to spend, it's not only the farais that he has to undertake, there are also other need, the requirements, and there are other rights that Allah Ta'ala places on that wealth. So he spends out of that in all those causes that he has to spend. So then that is not dunya. But if the person has got wealth, but he doesn't have knowledge, then definitely it is dangerous. Then it is like that snake, that if the person knows how to charm the snake, then he can charm the snake and take the poison out. But if he does not know how to charm the snake, and he tries to hold the snake, then he will be bitten by that snake. So we do not have that charm. That means shariat and deen and the knowledge of deen, we don't have that. But we want plenty of wealth. Now when that plenty of wealth comes, now it takes our namazes away, takes our zakat away, takes our sadaqat away, takes our hajj away, takes the fulfillment of the rights of the others away from there. And then that wealth, the only thing we think of is to keep on increasing our luxuries. Our own luxuries we keep on increasing. Our own comforts we just want to keep on increasing. And we just want to keep on seeing that how much the balance is rising. That is all. And that gives us satisfaction. There are many people to whom the only thing that gives satisfaction is to see how much they have got. They don't even have time to spend that same wealth upon themselves or their family members also. There are so many of them. And especially those people that we read of in the newspapers and listen to stories, non-Muslims and sometimes Muslims too in the Arab world, that they've got billions and billions. They say they've got billions. This person is owning 4, 5, 6 billion. Now what will they do with that? How much can you eat? If they, their grandchildren and great-grandchildren have to keep on eating all their lives also, it'll never finish. So now if that kind of wealth comes into the hands of a Muslim person, a believer, then it means that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has got the rights of so many people in that wealth. All the countries where there are so many millions of people starving, they are dying of hunger, poverty, extremely cold, freezing weather, they don't have blanket, they don't have shelter. So if they got billions, then this is where they should be spending that. But because they have just wealth and not the knowledge, and because they don't have the knowledge, so they don't have the taqwa. They don't have that khawf and khashiyat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what they will do is palaces upon palaces. Every few kilometers one palace. They cannot even visit all those palaces. But that is what they do. They will show you how many palaces they got. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants us to use His ni'mats, His bounties, but be grateful to Him. And don't put it into our hearts. Keep it outside our hearts. Wealth is not for inside the heart. Water is required for the ship to sail, but not for it to come inside the ship. If it comes into the ship, then it will cause it to sink. So we must keep this outside our hearts. Then we will not be so attached to it that we don't want to leave this world. At present, we don't want to leave this world. If somebody has to tell us, say if angel Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sends to inform us, that look, I'm guaranteeing you Allah Ta'ala has sent me, I'm giving you just an example, otherwise just now tomorrow somebody will say that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, Mawlana said he still comes to inform everybody. So if an angel is sent by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to inform us, or to inform anybody, that I have been sent to ask you, that do you want to remain longer in this world? If you remain longer in this world, then you will still have to face all the difficulties, hardships and troubles and all that. Or you may get plenty of wealth which you can use, you'll get some comforts. But we give you a longer life. And on the other hand, if you are ready, then we can take you away. And Allah Ta'ala has sent this message that He will enter you into Jannat. How many of us will say, no, that's okay, never mind. If He's entering us into Jannat, so then it's okay, take us away. Although we know that Jannat is the place where we will meet our Allah Ta'ala, we will get the ni'mats of Jannat, and there will be such enjoyment, such pleasure, مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَعَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرْ. That which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, the thought also didn't cross anybody's mind. No pain, no difficulty, no hardship, no sorrow, no jealousy, no malice, no greed, no pride, no anger, no arrogance, no hurt, no injury, nothing. Nothing but enjoyment, and nothing haram also in Jannat. There's no restriction also, you can't eat this and you can eat that and you can't eat that. Nothing, everything halal. No, but the person will still say, no, I would like to remain longer in this world. Why? Because that person has got an attachment to his wealth, to his property, to his fortune. But if he has to ask a very poor person who is suffering great difficulty, great poverty, and the person has got no wealth, no shelter, extremely cold weather, the person is suffering, and there's great starvation. Now if he has to tell him that, he'll say, no, take me away. What am I going to do in this world? I can't get food here, I can't get clothing, I can't get shelter. I'm in an extremely difficult situation and great amount of poverty and hardship. So what am I going to do in this world? He'll tell that angel, take me away straight away. Why should I deprive myself of the ni'mats of Jannah? Now why is it that that person who had plenty food, he didn't want to go? So it shows that there was that attachment to that wealth, attachment to the property, attachment to the cars, attachment to all these things. And it's not prohibited. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself has given us the permission. In fact, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has put the love of parents, of wealth, of properties and all into our hearts. But what is the condition? That these things must not become more beloved to us than Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's nothing wrong. If the person doesn't have love for all these things, he's not going to open his business to. But our hearts must not be so attached that we will start making high, now I have to leave behind everything and go from this world. At the time of death, the person is looking at his beautiful home, is looking at his beautiful furniture, is looking at his children, and is looking at his beautiful cars, and he says, I spent so much on all these things, and I have to leave it behind and go away from this world. And that shows that his heart is in those things. The water has come into the ship, so now he's going to cause it to sink. So use it, but don't let it enter into the heart. Now by speeches, this will not happen. This happens when the person stays for a considerable amount of time in such company where that is the discussion. And that person himself, he doesn't have dunya in his heart. Then when you will see that person's life, then this person will also take from that life. By repeatedly listening, by repeatedly reading of those incidents of the Sahaba-i-Kiram radiallahu anhu ajma'een and the Awliya-i-Siddiqeen, and by attending such kind of majlises and programs, and by associating with such people who don't have dunya in their hearts. We all make loud claims that we don't have dunya in our hearts. But when the test comes and it shows that dunya is in our hearts. We can do a lot of deen work also, but dunya is in the heart. That is the problem. So dunya must not be in the heart. Dunya must be in the pocket. Dunya must be in the safe. Dunya must be in the bank. Dunya must be anywhere, but it must be outside the heart. Then that person will not have a difficulty when the angel of death is going to visit him. Then he will not say, I wish I could have remained in this world for another 1,000 years. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless us with the ni'mats of dunya. But Allah Ta'ala must protect us from the mischief and the shararat and the fitnas of dunya. He must save us from negligence. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zolamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Ya arhamar rahimin, ya akramal akramin, ya ghiyathal mustaghithin. Ya hayyu ya qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith. Ya Allah, humare saghira kabira, amadan khata'an zahiri batini, har guna ko tere fazl o karam se maaf farma. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly, sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights, sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, heart and mind. Ya Allah, forgive each and every sin of ours. Forgive us, our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, and the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya Allah, bless us with dunya with which you are pleased. Ya Allah, bless us with the things of this dunya with which you are pleased. Oh my beloved Allah, and then protect us from all the fitnas. Ay Allah, hamein rizq halal naseeb farma. Ay Allah, safeguard us from all kinds of fitnas in this world. Save us from negligence and indifference. Ay mere pyare khuda, dunya ki muhabbat se hamari hifazat farma. Don't allow the love of dunya to enter our hearts. Ay Allah, don't allow the love of dunya to enter our hearts. Ay Allah, hamare dil ke andar bas teri muhabbat ho, Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ki muhabbat ho. Ay Allah, bless us with the best of this dunya and the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, the ni'mats of this dunya, give us the tawfiq to earn them correctly and to spend them in accordance with your teachings and the teachings of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ay Allah, ek din is dunya ko chhod kar jana hai, tere paas aana hai. Ay Allah, the day that we have to leave this world, let it be a day of happiness and rejoicing for us. Ay Allah, bless us with maut in Madina Tayyibah. Ay Allah, Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ke roze mubarak par. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Hamare honton par ho. Ay Allah, aur hamari rooh jhoomti hui tere paas aa jaye. Ay Allah, duniya aur aakhirat ki balaiyon se hame mala maal farma. Remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire ummat of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa shafi'ina wa maulana Muhammadin wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.